Father, we thank you and bless you for this day. We pray now that everything that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. O Lord, strength and redeemer, you are. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker who later became a Christian writer and public speaker. In May of 1940, the Germans invaded the Netherlands. And in May of 1942, Corrie ten Boom and her family, her father Casper and her sister Betsy, were thrust on the front line of the resistance movement in the Netherlands. A woman comes to their shop. Casper was a watchmaker, with a suitcase in her hand, and tells the family the story of her husband who had been arrested, her son who was in hiding, and she was interrogated by the Gestapo at their house, so much so that she was afraid to go back to her house. And she had heard that the Ten Booms were a family who were sympathetic to the Jews who lived in the Netherlands. Casper ten Boom was a God-fearing man who believed the Bible and believed in particular in the Old Testament that the Jews were God's chosen people. And he articulated to this lady that they would help her as they had helped another family that was a friend of hers, because he believed that God's people should always have a place in his home. The ten Booms became such an integral force in the Dutch resistance movement that people heard about the lives that they were saving, and they sent an architect to their home to put up a fake wall and a space for people to hide in when the Gestapo would conduct random searches of homes looking for Jews. That story became a biography of Corrie ten Boom's titled Hiding Place, and it was made into a movie in, I believe, 1975. Corrie ten Boom and Betsy, her sister and her father, were eventually captured because they were given over by a Dutch informant. They were arrested with about 30 other people. The 30 people that were arrested with them were released, but Corrie, Betsy, her sister, and Casper, her father, were imprisoned, and Betsy and Corrie would eventually be sent to a German concentration camp. Their father, Casper, died 10 days after he was arrested. Corrie and Betsy are in a concentration camp, and Betsy, who is also a believer, begins to quote 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, you have to remember they were talking about the filthy conditions that they were subjected to. Filth and fleas. Biting so much so that it was hard for anybody to sleep more than a few minutes at a time. Nasty, dirty. But Betsy said, in everything give thanks. And Corrie admitted that she struggled. How can you give thanks in the midst of filth and fleas? We're in a German concentration camp. How can you give thanks in the midst of this? Now, for somebody under the sound of my voice, my question to you is, what's keeping you from being thankful and grateful today? You see, I submit to you that all of us have some figurative filth and fleas in our life. They might not be insects. They might be two-leg variety of filth and fleas in our life. People that have been used by the enemy that have moved you away from even having a mentality of thankfulness in the midst of the season that we are in. They have been joy robbers. Robbed you of your joy in the Lord, kept you from being grateful and thankful. And it's hard, y'all, to be grateful and thankful in the midst of filth and fleas. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought how to be thankful no matter what. How to be thankful no matter what. Somebody in here, God wants to remind you that he is worthy of some no matter what praise. That you ought to learn how to give thanks to God, not necessarily because of what you're dealing with, but in many instances, in spite of what you are dealing with. If you have your outline, say amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Three things I want you to see today around this theme, this topical expositional message around how to be thankful no matter what. Here's the first thing. Number one, you are to be thankful no matter what in everything. In everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks. Let's stop right there. In everything, give thanks. That in is a primary preposition letting you know not just a place or a time or a state, but in general, a position. Wherever you find yourself in, whatever you find yourself in, wherever you find yourself in, he says, in everything, the whole matter, whatever. The old folks used to say, whatsoever. You find yourself in, he says, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks. Eucharisteo is the word in the original language where we get the word Eucharist from. To give thanks. Present tense, active voice, and the imperative mood. What does that mean? It means the admonition to give thanks in everything is a command by God. Listen carefully. Present tense, which means it's tied to what you do. Active voice, which means you are to do it at all times. Can I tell you something that I've learned in life? Too many times we give up our thankfulness and give somebody else control over whether or not we're going to be thankful. And what Paul tells us is no circumstance, no situation, no person, no place, no thing should keep you from being thankful. He says, in everything, give thanks. You control whether or not you have an attitude of gratitude. And I submit to too many of you, you don't have a thankful attitude right now in some places because you've turned over the right to be thankful and the power to be thankful and grateful to somebody else. And because of how they act, it affects how you perceive and view life. He says, each of us has to learn how to give thanks. Now, you say, wait a minute, but I'm not thankful for certain things. He said, no. He said, be thankful in everything. Listen carefully, because thanksgiving is an expression of joy Godward. Thankfulness is not what I give to everybody else. Thankfulness is what I give to God. And I have to learn how to give thankfulness to God vertically, regardless of what's happening around me horizontally. Let me put a cord in the median park there because some of y'all got a blank look on your face. See, if you live your life and your attitude of gratitude is based on what's going on around you and who's acting right or not acting right at a moment, then you'll miss how to obey the command of God to be thankful in everything. God says be thankful in everything, because in everything God should be the focus of your thankfulness. And your thankfulness to God should never be determined, deterred, or dependent upon what folk around you do or say. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. Let's read it together. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, abounding in it with thanksgiving. See, so for somebody who may say, well, how can I be thankful? Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. Man, the accident that I was in, the tragic death that my family experienced, how can I be, I can't be thankful. Look, Pastor, you don't understand the abuse that I've gone through or I'm going through right now. How can I be thankful in that? He says you can be thankful, listen carefully, not because of what you went through, but because of who went through it with you. See, it's all about changing your perspective. Instead of focusing on what somebody did to you, focus on the one who was with you in the midst of what you went through, and know that what drove other people crazy, what caused other people to lose their mind, it was God who helped you to keep your mind. He says, and you ought to be able to thank God because he went through whatever you went through with you. And you didn't go through it by yourself. Somebody said it like this: what God doesn't keep you from, he sure can keep you through. So he says you got to learn how to be thankful. Here's the second thing, number two. You ought to be thankful no matter what, because being thankful is God's will for you. Being thankful is God's will for you, for your life. In everything, verse 18, the New King James Version says, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. People say, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will? And typically when they ask that question, they want a list of specific things that God wants them to do. God wants you to go left when you get to the corner. God wants you to go right when you get to the next corner. God wants you to take this job. God wants you to move into this location. God, and I'm not saying God is not a God of specifics. What I am saying to you, however, is there is a foundation that needs to be laid in your life in order for you to be able to hear clearly what God is saying when God is speaking. It's in verses actually 16 through 18. Watch what he says. Verse 16, rejoice always, comma, pray without ceasing, comma, in everything give thanks, semicolon, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He says, when you learn how to pray without ceasing, well, first you got to learn how to rejoice always. And then you got to learn how to pray without ceasing. And then you got to learn how to give thanks in everything. Is there an order there? Rejoicing, praying, and thanking? Maybe, let me just throw this in parenthetically for somebody. Maybe the reason you're not able to thank is because you haven't been praising and you haven't been praying. It's kind of hard to jump to thanking God when you haven't been praising God and you haven't been praying to God, to now all of a sudden figure out, oh, let me thank God. He says, you got to learn how to give thanks to God in everything, because that is the will of God. Look at Colossians 3:17. Let's read it together. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I want to encourage somebody today, if you do nothing else this week, I want you to practice your thankfulness. Now, here's what I've learned in life. Many times we don't thank God like we should for the big things because we haven't learned how to thank him for the little things. Let me give you an example. We have 12, I think 13 grandchildren now. We got two more coming. I think two more. I know one definitely. One we suspecting, but anyway. And so when the grandchildren come over, you know, it's important. Two things important, I think, for grandparents to do. One, spoil them rotten, like rotten eggs, rotten. Send them back on sugar highs and all that stuff. Rotten, just spoil them rotten. Just think that's a grandparent's job. It's part of our job description. Second thing is to help teach them some manners. You know, and, you know, please, thank you. And it's funny because the grandchildren are like 13 to, what, 2 weeks now? Month old, right? And you got to remind them all. Please. Thank you. Like, before you get it, please. After you get it, before you take off, thank you. Not asking for much. Please and thank you. And one of the things that I've learned in my walk with God is that I have to learn how to recognize the little things to thank God for, to help me develop a praise consciousness so that my praise is not limited to big things. It shows up in all things. Let me see if I can help somebody. So, for example, wake up in the morning, open my eyes, look up at the ceiling. Before my feet hit the ground, thank you, Lord. Now, I don't need nothing big. Look here. Just open up my eyes. Thank you, Lord. Got up out of the bed on my way to the bathroom needing no assistance. Thank you, Lord. Tori said, who are you talking to? Just thanking God. Just thanking God. Go to the bathroom. No assistance. Thank you, Lord. Everything working. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. No. See, if you've never had a time when everything wasn't working, then you don't know how to thank God when it is working, because you take for granted. Somebody's not praying with me in here. And if you look at me saying, oh, man, Pastor, you old, keep on living. It's not until you can't feed yourself that you take great appreciation in being able to use a fork and knife and lift it up to your own mouth. It's not until you can't get yourself a drink of water that you really appreciate to be able to get water. So, man, look, I'm just thanking God all day long. We got to learn how to thank him in the little things. Practice in the little things. So when the big things come, it just flows. I told you, number one, you ought to be thankful no matter what in everything. Number two, you ought to be thankful no matter what, because being thankful is God's will for you. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you ought to be thankful no matter what, because God is still God in everything. God is still God in everything. Watch what the text says. The text says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Hebrews 13:8, look at your outline. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In everything. Now, somebody says, why should I give thanks to God in everything? Because in everything, God is still God. Some of y'all missed it. In everything, what doesn't change is God, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He says you can give thanks to God in everything, because while everything is changing, the one who is in everything does not change. See, we know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. We know that God gave the gift of his son. We know that God gave the gift of the Holy Spirit. We know God gave us the gift of salvation. We know God has given us the gift of eternal life. We know that God has given us gifts in order to serve him, and he's given us gifts in order to serve other people that God has given to us. But here's what we many times don't want to understand or accept. God does not only give the good, God sometimes gives the trials in order to drive us closer to him, to recognize his presence. I was talking to a friend of mine when we was young, and he used to love to go to scary movies. He used to love to take girls to scary movies. And man, I ain't like scary movies. And he said, oh man, you need to go to scary movies. And you need to take your girlfriend to scary movies. Take a girl to scary movies. I said, man, why are you so determined to take girls to scary movies? He said, oh man, it's real simple. See, when this movie gets real scary, she moves close to you. And then you can put your arm around her. She's screaming, ah! And she runs over to you, and then you're like, oh, it's going to be all right. And I said, boy, you got to go through all of that to get your arm around a girl. Man, I don't want no parts of that, because I get scared. I'd be looking for somebody to put their arms around me. Man, I don't want go no scary movie. But here's my point. Sometimes God will let some things happen in your life to drive you to get closer to him. Because he knows without those things, you might wander away. But when those difficulties come, when those tough times come, when those challenging times come, now you're going to move closer to him. Look at Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that it, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. You got to learn how to thank God in everything. Listen to me carefully. You got to thank him for everything, even when your limited understanding keeps you from initially recognizing the good coming out of your situation. You have to thank him in everything, because God is in everything. He has not changed being God depending on what you're going through. You got to thank him in everything. So Corey Ten Boom and her sister Betsy, prisoners in a Nazi concentration camp, their area, filth and fleas, as Betsy would describe it. But she said, we got to learn how to give thanks to God in everything. Corey looks at her and is like, in everything. But then Corey had a realization. The reason they could have Bible study in that prison camp with a smuggled-in Bible, and she could help women in that work camp come to know Jesus, is because of the filth and the fleas. Because while they were praying and singing, none of the guards wanted to come in because of the filth and the fleas. Nobody came in to do them harm as prisoners in the Nazi concentration camp. because none of the guards, male or female, wanted to come in to a prison area that was filled with filth and fleas. And Corrie Ten Boom says she recognized that God used the filth and the fleas. And she learned what a sister had taught her, to be thankful for the filth and the fleas. Betsy ended up dying in that Nazi concentration camp. Corrie Ten Boom was released. Somebody asked how she was released, because she was released 12 days after her sister died, and she was told that her release was because of a clerical error, and that a week later, all the women in her age group were sent to gas chambers. But by mistake, she was released. Corrie Ten Boom was used to speak the gospel message to thousands and thousands of people and to reach millions of people through the telling of her story, through the book and later the movie, The Hiding Place, and went to communist, socialist, and democratic countries around the world to share the love of God with other people. This month, and always, I want to encourage you to work to give God thanks. Not just for the big things, but thank him for the little things. So I'm going to give you an assignment this week. Go home and make a list. If you got enough pen and paper, do it the old school way. If not, put it on your tablet. Recite it if you want. Type it in on your computer. But start keeping tabs on, counting the blessings of God in your life and what you have to be thankful for. Just start going down the list one by one. Start chronicling what you have to be thankful for. Then when you finish that list, if you can finish that before Thursday, start making a list of the things that God has kept from you that you have to be thankful for. In other words, that first list, everything God has done to be thankful for. But in that second list, the stuff that he hasn't allowed to help happen. Like for example, you could have had cancer, but you don't. Thank you, Lord. Could be in a hospital right now, but I'm not. Thank you, Lord. Could be living under a bridge, but I've got a house. Thank you. Lord, you understand what I'm saying? Thank God for the car, but thank God you can make the payment. You know, thank him for what he's done and thank him for what he hasn't allowed to happen. Tell the Lord thank you for what you've already done. And tell the Lord thank you for what you have kept me from. I'm not going to wait for more blessings. I'm going to thank God right now for my blessings. I'm not going to wait until I see the results of my prayers. But I'm going to thank him right now that he's a prayer answering God. I'm not going to wait until I receive my reward. But I'm going to thank him right now for day by day blessings. I'm not going to wait until my pain disappears. But I'm going to thank him right now because I know healing is on the way. I'm not waiting until my journey gets easier. But I'm going to thank him for giving me power to make my journey right now. I'm not waiting for my challenges to be removed. But I'm thanking him right now because he's able to make me an overcomer. I'm not waiting until somebody tells me they're sorry. But I'm thanking God right now for keeping me through everything I've been through. I'm not waiting until I understand my grief. But I'm thanking God God, right now, I'm not waiting for my financial situation to get better. I'm thanking God right now. I'm thanking the Lord because I am alive. I'm thanking God because I've got life, health, and strength. I'm thanking God because he's been with me through many dangers, toils, and snares. Yes, yes. I'm thanking God because through the trials and tribulations, he has been faithful. I'm thanking God because through my good days and through my bad days, he is still by my side. I'm thanking God because I won't complain. And I'm thanking God because he's never given up on me. Somebody under the sound of my voice needs to say thank you for all you've done. Thank you for how you kept me. Thank you for how you never left me. Thank you for how you made a way for me. Thank you for how you kept me in my right mind. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hey, 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 hey. Father, we bless you. We thank you, God, because no matter what, no matter what we go through, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter who comes against us, we can thank you in everything because you are with us in everything. You have never left us. You have never forsaken us. Shame on us, God, if we have spent more time looking at those around us instead of being grateful for the one who is beside us. You've kept us, God, and we say thank you. Help somebody today, God, because even somebody who doesn't know you today, you have kept them to give them a chance to get right with you. And I pray, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would move in their hearts and minds today to say yes to you. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, when you look at the disciples, the one disciple that will puzzle people in terms of Jesus' selection of disciples, many times Judas. You know, some people would say if you were going to choose a disciple, why would you choose somebody who would betray you? But his choosing of Judas was just like his choosing of the rest, to give them an opportunity to get right with him. He gave Judas a chance, just like he gave Peter a chance. Just like all of the disciples got a chance. And there's somebody today, I don't know why I'm just feeling led to say to you, God wants to give you another chance. I'm not going to say a second chance because you blew right through second chance. You done lost track of chance counting. You remember when you told the Lord, you said, God, I don't know if you're real, but God, if you get me out of this, I promise you, I'm going to church. I'm going to give you my life. You remember when you told the Lord that? You said, Lord, if this test comes back negative, I promise you ain't going to never have to worry about me again. You remember you told the Lord that. Somebody watching, you told the Lord that. And the Lord did his part, but you haven't kept your word. What a wonderful opportunity today to say yes to God. If for no other reason, to thank God, because even in your foolishness, God still kept you, still watched over you, still made a way for you. You don't know, forget about what tomorrow holds. You don't know what the rest of today holds. It was last Easter when I gave an invitation to discipleship, and a young man came, prayed a prayer of salvation, gave his life to the Lord, and that night was tragically killed. We've had young people come to funerals and give their life to the Lord. And 2 weeks later, we were doing their funeral. Because you don't know how long you have. Before the time you have, I'm saying, let's make it right with God. Reverend Bell's going to come now. Christian workers are going to come now. And if you're here today, as Elder Taylor ministers in song, I don't want you to dialogue or debate with the devil. I don't want you to worry about what somebody else is going to say. I don't even want you to worry about the next steps. I just want you to worry about your next step. I don't want you to worry about tomorrow. I don't want you to worry about next year. What's somebody else going? No. I'm just talking about today. That's why the scripture says today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you're watching today, I want you to indicate in the chat, I want to ask Jesus Christ into my life. QR code is going up on the screen, and you can use that QR code to get a quick link to learn how to pray the prayer of salvation, to become a part of our church family. And I promise you, we won't look at you funny. We'll rejoice just like we rejoice for the one who just came. We'll pray for you, pray with you, and walk with you in order to help you to become all that God wants you to be. Everybody who can, everybody who will, if you stand on your feet up in the balcony and downstairs, to my left and to my right, as Elder Taylor sings, Reverend Bell is going to come. But I want you to make a step right now. We won't look at you funny. We'll rejoice when you come and say yes to God. If no other reason, come out of a thankfulness that he's kept you as long as he's kept you and gives you another opportunity to make it right. Come on and come.